Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Miss B. I am the kids coordinator here at Vintage Faith, and we have an activity planned today for our kiddos. So kiddos, I will tell you the supplies that you will need, and you'll meet me back here, and we'll go over what we're going to do today. I'll give you 1 minute to gather your supplies. You'll need a Bible, and also today is artist choice. Grab whatever you want to use to create today. Maybe that's Play-Doh. Maybe that's Legos. Maybe that's your journal. Maybe that's a paper and some crayons. Whatever you want to create with today, go ahead and grab that. And I'll see you back here in 1 minute. Ready? Go. All right, kiddos. Today, I want to go over our core values in VFF Kids. In our room, we have three sentences written on our wall. You are loved, you are brave, and you are chosen. My prayer is that each and every one of you know and hold these sentences close to your hearts. So I want to take a closer look at them today. You are loved is our first sentence. I want you to draw out a heart. And I know that sounds simple, but inside the heart, I'd like you to write some things that you love, and maybe some people who love you. My pre-K kids, maybe decorate your heart. If you draw a heart out of Play-Doh or make a heart out of Play-Doh, decorate it or turn the heart into a little puzzle piece. Get creative. You are brave. I want you to make a shield, and in that shield, write words that make you feel brave. Okay? The last one is you are chosen. Now, this one, I really want to tell you to make a claw machine and have it pull out your favorite toy. But I think we're going to stick with a self-portrait. I want you to draw yourself, your image, whatever that looks like to you. Make it out of Play-Doh, paint, draw. Or even if you want to write a few words about who you are in your journal, go ahead and do that too. For my older kiddos, you have your Bible for a reason. I have three scriptures I want you to look up. You ready? The first one is John 3:16. The second one is 1 John 3:18. And the last scripture is 1 Timothy 4:12. Go ahead and look up those scriptures. We're going to discuss them after the sermon, okay? Have so much fun creating, kids, and I'll meet you back here to recap after the sermon.
Hey, everyone. Good morning. Well, I'm really excited to announce that today I won't be doing the preaching, but my friend Jason will be. So Jason Palmer will be sharing the preaching today, and I can't wait to hear what he has to share with all of us. And so be blessed as you receive God's word as Jason delivers it boldly. All right. All right, Jason, take it from here, buddy.
Hi, Vintage Faith. My name is Jason Palmer. It's so nice to be with you all. It has been great getting to know a lot of you and the heart behind Vintage Faith Foursquare over the last year. And thank you so much for allowing me opportunities like this to share my heart with all of you. You can hear some sirens in the background. This has been a pretty wild couple of weeks for all of us. I know a lot of you have been going through some hardship. And when Pastor Matt asked me to preach, it was about a month or two ago, and I felt like God had really given me something to share. And then I really began to examine that and decide, or even debate, like, is that still for now? Is that something that is still good for us today? And I really felt like the Holy Spirit, as I prayed about that, said that the word that God gave me is really indeed for now, and that maybe we need it now more than ever. So I hope that you'll agree. But with that said, my heart has been broken over the injustice, the oppression, the hurt, the fear, the division, the pain, you name it, just everything that we're going through right now. It's evident that our world, our nation, is hurting. And I feel like many of us need a moment to lament. And I don't know if you're like me, I haven't really done a lot of kind of proper lamenting. And so friends of mine put it this way, that lament presents the opportunity to call out to God for his mercy. It acknowledges the need for God's justice and mercy that does not arise out of one's own strength or ability. I don't know about you, but I need that. And so I want to begin with some prayer. And as I struggle for words, I trust that the Holy Spirit prays through our wordless groans. My sense is that a lot of us are groaning right now. So I want to lean into the Holy Spirit and begin with a time of prayer. So would you please join me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't even know where to begin, and I recognize that it's not really a matter of what I say or not say in prayer, because your Holy Spirit knows what's in my heart, and you know what is in all of our hearts, and that you pray on our behalf. Lord, your children are groaning. We are hurting, and as these events unfold and we see injustice and oppression, fear and division, we don't know how to respond. We don't know what to do. And we long for you. We long for your kingdom. We long for your peace. And sometimes, Lord, you tell us to wait. And I pray that you would remind us of your hope, that you are at work, even if we don't see it. Lord, forgive us for the things that we have said. Forgive us for the things that we have not said. Lord, I confess that I'm a part of the problem. And Lord, I long to be part of the solution. I don't know what that looks like, Lord, and I think a lot of us are turning to you, asking that you will guide us. So may you guide us. May we be your hands and feet. Lord, comfort the hearts that need it right now, and may your light shine all the brighter in the midst of this darkness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as the event of the last couple weeks unfolded, I wondered if what God put on my heart was again, appropriate for this time. And I do believe like we need this word now more than ever. So please hang with me as I talk about the concept of rest. Now, this is not the kind of rest that you might think of when I say the word, but it's a real rest. It's a rest that Jesus invites us into. And in the last month, I had spent a lot of time in the book of Matthew, and there was a passage that kept jumping out at me. It's Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And so I'm going to read that right now, and it just struck me then as it strikes me now. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think we're all feeling weary and burdened right now. And no matter who you are or what you are going through, Jesus invites us into his rest. And I love Eugene Peterson's translation. He wrote The Message. I love that translation of this passage. He writes, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I think this is a beautiful invitation that a lot of us, certainly myself, tend to ignore. And Jesus invites us into rest, and I feel like we respond with our arms crossed, wondering how we can find rest right now. And we say something like, "Lord, have you seen the state of the world? Have you seen our nation? I'm homeschooling my kids right now, or I have to teach them how to live in a world full of hate, and you want me to rest? Rest is the last thing I can afford right now." And I totally get it, because a lot of us are really struggling right now. And some more than others. You know, maybe you're sick and tired of the injustice in the world and you wonder if it will ever end. Maybe you're like me and you lost your job and you don't know how you're going to pay rent next month. Maybe you're struggling with depression and anxiety right now, maybe more than ever, and you don't know who to turn to. Maybe you're fighting cancer and you're trying to remain strong for those around you. And maybe there's division in your marriage, much like there's division in our country right now. And maybe you just feel trapped. I think this is how John the Baptist felt right before Jesus spoke these words. In the beginning of Matthew 11, just 26 verses before Jesus talks about rest, we learn that John is in prison, and he sends out his disciples to go and see if Jesus is really who he says he is. In verse 2, It says, when John heard in prison that what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, we can probably interpret this passage in many ways, but I feel like John is facing some doubt here, and I think he's struggling. I believe he's beginning to wonder if Jesus really is the Messiah. I mean, this can't be how he expected the Messiah to act. I mean, he's been locked up in prison and left to rot. Surely God would rescue him, right? Surely God would do something miraculous for the one who prepared the way, but he doesn't. And oppression and injustice were still going strong. Why wasn't Jesus stopping it? I feel like the question John asks is what one that many of us are asking right now. It's almost, as we watch the world seemingly fall apart, I feel like a lot of us are asking, is Jesus going to do something? Or should we expect someone else? And while we wait, we tend to then try to fix things on our own and go be doers. We grab the reins and try to take over. I know that some of you know what it's like to be hurt by someone you love. And if that happened when you were young, you probably made a decision to put your heart behind some walls and not let anyone hurt you again. And trust in others, and including God, seemed impossible. And you might have made a decision to just do it all on your own. Because sometimes we can feel like we are left on our own. But in verse 4, Jesus replies to John's disciples. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear and the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. I don't know about you, or I don't even know how John would have responded to those words when his disciples came back. He might have thought like, cool, all right, that's great, awesome, but what about me? I'm in prison still, so are you going to save me or what? And Jesus really, you know, I think he does answer the question that John has, because really in Jesus' response, he's quoting from Isaiah, and there's two beautiful chunks of Isaiah that Jesus is referring to. I want to read them now just because I think they declare what Jesus is about, even a time such as this. The first one is Isaiah 35, verses 3 through 6. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And the second chunk that Jesus is referring to, this is the same passage when he is in the temple and he reads from a scroll. And it's Isaiah 61, the very first few verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I think Jesus does respond to what John is going through and what a lot of us are feeling right now. I mean, I feel like he's saying, yeah, I am the one who is to come, and I'm here now. I'm here with you now. I've started to build my kingdom. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. Because you see, God has a way of being at work even when we can't see it. But I hear what some of you are thinking. Well, Jesus doesn't bust John out of jail. He doesn't give everyone sight. He doesn't heal every cripple. He allows the poor to remain poor. What gives? And my response is that Jesus hasn't done these things yet, but I believe he will. I don't know why God is taking so long. My family and I have wondered that sort of thing for the last 30 years as my mom has battled chronic illness after chronic illness, and as my sister has faced the unseen monster of bipolar disorder. But we've come to trust that God is at work, and that much like when he raised Jesus from the dead, evil does not have the final word. Because as Jesus said to John's disciples, the dead are raised to life, and that is the hope we hang on to. Jesus declares that until his kingdom comes, he is with us in our suffering. In fact, he knows our suffering and oppression more than any of us will ever know. And then he invites us into his rest. Are you tired? Yeah. Worn out? Come on. Burned out on religion? Yes, sir. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Some of you might have been fully on board with this idea of rest until you heard the word work. Jesus asks us to work. This passage isn't a prescription for a permanent vacation, as nice as that might sound. And I don't think Jesus is referring to our jobs, though some of you, like me, might actually be missing the opportunity to be employed right now. I think Jesus is inviting us to join him in kingdom work. And the secret is to work with Jesus, to walk with him, to work with him, to watch how he does it. When I was growing up, I believed my dad could do anything. He was kind of a MacGyver of sorts. His garage felt like a magical workshop where you could bring anything and he'd fix it and you'd go about your day. It was incredible. And so toys and broken furniture, broke down vehicles, just take it to dad in the garage, he'll fix it, voila. And so it infuriated me when I would bring him something to fix and then he would ask me to help him fix it. Now, I was a pro at Lego building, top-notch at that, but no one should trust me with a hammer. It's not pretty. Yet, my dad, he had offered to teach me how to fix the problem at hand. And as frustrating as it was then, I now know things because I watched how he did it. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. Walk with me. Spend time with me. Learn from me. Watch what I do and how I do it. And then go and do likewise. This mix of work and rest is a tricky rhythm, which is why I think Jesus then says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That phrase alone is tremendously profound. The unforced rhythms of grace. Nothing here is forced. Even God's amazing grace, we are given a choice of whether to accept it or not. Jesus promises, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Some of us are carrying a lot of junk. But did we pick up those things, or were they placed upon us? Just think about it for a moment. What is weighing you down? What doesn't fit well? Maybe that thing isn't from God. Maybe now is the time to let it go. Yeah. Okay, but people need me. Hey, they'll be fine. Okay, but I have to do this. No, you don't. Jason, you don't get it. You don't know what I'm going through right now. You have no idea. No, I don't. But Jesus doesn't list any excuses in this passage. He doesn't say, come to me once things calm down or once you have everything under control. He doesn't say, come find rest once a year when you're on vacation in the Bahamas. He offers us rest regardless of what we're going through. But again, this is not just any rest. It's his rest. And real rest is not contingent upon our circumstances. Whether we're stuck in jail like John or we are facing the uncertainties around us, we can still find rest in Jesus. It might be hard. In fact, it's very hard, but it's doable, and I think we need it. You see, part of resting is experiencing the peace of God, even when there's no peace to be found anywhere else. It's a declaration that we can't do it all. It's a reminder that we aren't enough, that we need something else, someone else. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you need rest? I used to be the type of person that said, oh, I can sleep when I'm dead. And this was especially back when I was in college, getting an average of 4 hours of sleep a night. Smart guy here. I don't think a lot of us believe we need to rest, especially in America. We are a pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get her done kind of people. And we tend to equate rest with weakness. But if that's the case, do we then think Jesus was weak? Because he rested beautifully. So why don't we? Maybe it's because rest looks different for each of us. Now, for some of you, it might be practicing stillness. For others, it's finding a quiet place for just 5 minutes. Some people, like me, are pretty energetic, and so a run or a surf or a walk is a great way to find rest. And whatever the method, the key is to do it with Jesus, to commune with him. Because when we rest, we're caring for our very soul. When we enter to rest with Jesus, we allow our hearts to be heard, and we need to protect that time and space, maybe now more than ever. When we enter into rest with Jesus, we remember that we're kids who aren't expected to figure everything out, and we're reminded that Jesus walks with us. He delights in us, and when we rest, we get to feel his presence in beautiful ways. Because entering into rest with Jesus means admitting and confessing that we're not in control. And I think that's the crux of the problem, because that's scary. That's hard to do. We tend to believe that our family's welfare, our relationships, our future, it's up to us. And that is exhausting. It's time to let go. In the words of Elsa, let it go, let it go. I don't know, it's like a Bublé version. All right, well, perhaps the only way to do that is to see that we make a mess of things more often than we realize. Maybe the world is in the mess it's in because we've all been trying to fix it on our own. I believe when we don't work with Jesus or enter into rest, we tend to make things worse. And this is the opposite of what the world tells us. We live in a time that proclaims that we need to be strong and independent and in control. Yet, when a loved one gets cancer, or we lose a job, or we see injustice around us, we immediately feel insufficient. And insufficiency is okay. In fact, I think God is wanting for us to realize and admit that. We can't do it on our own. We aren't good enough. We don't have the strength. We don't have the answers. Does that mean we should crawl into a corner and weep into a pillow? Well, maybe. But I think the better option is to turn to the one who can do it. The one who is good, the one who has the strength and the answers, and then turn things over to his care. Make no mistake, this is not easy to do. I wish I could wave a magic wand and help us all just let go. The cute phrase, just let go and let God, it just doesn't cut the mustard sometimes. Yet, it's often the desperate people who realize that this is the only way they can get well. In the 12-step recovery program, there's a great prayer that people use to admit that they cannot do life on their own when they've come to believe that only God can help them get through the day. It's called the third-step prayer, and it's an effort to hand over the reins, to place one's will and life in God's hands. I want to pray that prayer over us today because I think it's something that we all need. Now, if you've got children crawling all over you right now, or a spouse is chewing cereal louder than you would like, or any number of distractions around you, I would encourage you to pause those things for a moment. And if that means you need to come back to this later, then so be it. But I want this to be a time where we can really just be still for just a moment as I pray this. And as we do so, I invite you to close your eyes. Think about your life. What have you taken on? What doesn't feel right? What is ill-fitting or heavy? Consider the state of our world, our nation, our leaders. Picture the people in your life who are hurting. And now, picture Jesus in whatever way helps most. Imagine him approaching you and offering the gift of rest. Imagine him asking to take your burdens and walk with you because he loves you. With your eyes closed, let me pray this over us. Dear God, we're sorry about the mess we've made of our lives. We want to turn away from all the wrong things we've ever done and all the wrong things we've ever been. Please forgive us for it all. We know you have the power to change our lives. Please take over the management of our lives and everything about us. We are making the conscious decision to turn our will and our lives over to your care and are asking you to please take over all parts of our lives. Please, God, move into our hearts. However you do it is your business, but make yourself real inside us and fill our awful emptiness. Fill us with your love and Holy Spirit and make us know your will for us. Amen. You can open your eyes now. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I don't know what you need, but my prayer is that you will enter into Jesus' rest this week. Maybe tonight, maybe it's later in the week, Thursday, I don't know, whenever, but please don't let the week pass by without discovering the rest of Jesus. This is not a form of escapism, but it's going to the well that never runs dry and soaking in his presence. And maybe this is what will set us apart as his bride, as the church. Even though the world might be a mess and there is hurting all around us, we can enter into God's peace, trusting that he will one day make all things right. And that when we walk with Jesus and we watch how he binds up the wounds, we can join him in that work. Jesus is at work setting captives free, even if we don't see it, even if it's not happening as quickly as we would like. But part of joining Jesus in his work may mean joining him in his suffering as well. I mean, John, the one who prepared the way for Jesus, he's left to die in prison. And scripture is full of examples of what we might face. But as followers of Christ, we place our hope not in what is seen, but in that which is unseen, in what God is doing. And the only way to do this well is to find rest in Jesus. Jesus' final words to John's disciples in this chapter are, "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." May we not stumble, not because we are perfect, but because we're walking with Jesus and enjoying the unforced rhythms of grace. I want to conclude by mentioning this beautiful video on YouTube. It's the UK did it, and it is called The Blessing. It's a song you've probably heard and sung. I encourage you to go and find it after this. You can find it on YouTube. Just type the UK, The Blessing. It's beautiful. I simply want to end this with the chorus of that song as a benediction for us. I'm not going to sing it. I won't make you suffer. I'm just going to read this over us as a blessing for us, for our world. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you. All around you and within you, he is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. He is for you, he is for you. He is for you, he is for you. No matter what you're going through right now, know that God is for you. He stands with his arms wide open to love you, to say he knows your pain, and to welcome you into his rest. May we all fall into those arms, and may we all learn to practice the unforced rhythms of grace. Thank you so much for letting me share with you today. Now let's go be the church.
Hey kids, how did your creations come along? Tag us at VFF Kids if you want to send in pictures. I'd love to take a look and check them out. I bet Alyssa used Play-Doh, maybe. Or did you draw? Hayden, I think you drew everything out or maybe journaled. You guys got to send me pictures. I need to know. All right, kiddos. So let's recap really quick. Our first core value is you are loved. Who found the scriptures? Who was able to look those up? Awesome. So in John 3:16, we read that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So God loves you forever and always so much that he gave his one and only son for you. Because you are loved, let's make a choice every day to love others the way God loves us. Second is you are brave. In 1 John 3:18, it says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions." What if our parents said, "I love you," but never gave us a hug in our entire lives? Would we really believe them? I don't know, right? Putting love into action isn't always easy, but God is always with you. So we should never fear being brave, standing up for what is right. We are called by God to put our love into action, even when it's hard. Last, you are chosen. In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, "Do not let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." God chose you. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are the next generation chosen on purpose for a purpose. Let's be a generation of God's brave love. And do not let any circumstance or any person take away your power or love. Keep your light on, shine bright, so others can see who God truly is. All right, kiddos, I know that was a lot, but thanks for hanging in there with me. I hope that the next time you're scared, lonely, afraid, you need courage, that you remember you are loved, you are brave, and you are chosen. This week, I challenge you to show extra love to others. Be brave. And don't forget to check out our Bible story and activity that we have online for you at vffchurch.com. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. I love you guys. Have a great week. Bye.